You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. I'm just going to go ahead and get this out of the way immediately. I keep wanting to say Castle in the Sky. I'm probably going to say Castle in the Sky more than once during this review. I'm apologizing in advance. It's Castle in the Ground, which does not roll off the brain right. Anyway, we're talking about Castle in the Ground. I got what do the young people say today, Julian? What do they say? My bros, my peeps, what do they say?
Your deuterinos.
No, they don't. They absolutely don't say that. I do not believe you.
Okay, I'm just kidding. They say, my fucking guys.
Hey, my fucking guys over here. I got my girl Jordan.
Jeez, this is a weird disparity between my first two assignments.
I got Adrian!
Hey.
And I got Julian.
Hello!
We're talking, once again, I've already said it like four times just to be sure I don't fuck it up. Castle in the Ground, not Sky. This is a film written, directed by Joey Klein, who was better known as an actor originally for a number of different things. Not his first feature as a director, though. In fact, his first feature was The Other Half in 2016. I did not talk to Joey, but I talked to Tatiana Maslany and Tom Cullen, who were the two stars of it at South by Southwest year. That came out, which I didn't even realize till like a half hour ago. I was like, oh, that's funny. I did the interview for that. But Castle on the Ground, very different type of film, although also kind of dour? Question mark?
No, that's appropriate. That's the right word. Definitely dour.
Okay. Alex Wolff plays Henry. He is a Jewish lad who is living with his mother, played by Nev Campbell, who really, I just felt so old looking at Nev Campbell in this movie right off the bat. I'm like, because they definitely, they didn't like age her up so much as they went, don't put any makeup on her, try and make her look ragged. They try to make her look like she's like in her late 50s. That's Nev Campbell from Scream, young sex symbol.
Yeah, this is like what would happen if we actually explored Sydney Bristow has PTSD from all this shit.
And that would have made for a better movie if that's what had happened next. Ooh. But no, Nev Campbell's character Rebecca is dying of, did they ever actually say, some kind of cancer, I guess?
Plot convenience.
The drugs were coming into the house because she was in so much agony. They were prescribed drugs for that. And she'd gotten to so much pain that she was starting to ask her son, I don't care, let's double up on the drugs. Which, of course, leads to a bad situation when he does, in fact, give in. And she dies and feels like he's never really going to know for sure. But it sounds like it's possible that him letting her do that is what led to her dying. Although it seems like she would have died anyway. He's very depressed. He lives in this apartment building in the house that he used to share with her. Across the hall, their new roommate is the adorable, but not as adorable in this film, Imogen Poots, who it's quickly revealed is a recovering drug addict herself, who's having a lot of her trouble recovering because her local pharmacy is not actually fulfilling the prescription for her methadone. She's falling back on her old contacts. Alex Wolff is kind of fascinated, albeit probably more bored than anything, following what's going on through the hallway, if through no other means than the little eye hole to gaze at it, but gets drawn into this and gets drawn into this so much more after his mother dies, befriends Imogen Poots' character, Anna, and that leads to trouble.
I have some good things to say about this movie. Like, I thought it was really beautiful. The acting and the whole look of everything, I thought they nailed that pretty hard.
The poster kind of makes it look like it's going to be some kind of thriller. But yeah. No, it's kind of just a look at the life of drug-addicted young people.
Yeah.
Until it decides, oh, wait, we do also kind of want to be a thriller.
It has a last minute, like a drug addict waking up from a addled nap. What? I'm supposed to? Okay, I'm going.
Yeah, more or less.
To a thriller sequence where, what? And I felt like that as a viewer going, wait, what is happening all of a sudden? Why is this a thriller for the last 15 minutes?
It really is strange in that regard, because for like 85% of this movie, it is a very harrowing, very grim, but also realistic look into the throes of depression and addiction that one can find themselves in. This is, I think, an important story that does need to be told and shown out there. And it is brilliantly well acted, lovingly shot. And then, like, the last 15% of this movie is like, we gotta have an ending to this. Fuck it, guns!
There's a lot of, like, Requiem for a Dream I saw in there. Like, just, I didn't like the characters as much. But at the end, it was like the last few weeks of shooting, the director's like, no, I just saw this movie Good Time. This is gonna be like that now. Trust. Well,
influenced by both those films, I will certainly not deny the possibility of that, but reminiscent of it in terms of skill?
Nah.
No.
Because Requiem for a Dream, almost every frame of that goddamn movie is a fucking masterpiece, and I will fight you. I admire the way Klein, in the second half of it, as it starts dealing with the lead character Alex Wolff starting to fall into a drug haze himself, I like the way it starts sort of having missing time and the way it's shot and trying to reflect the effect of being addicted to these type of drugs. It's not remarkable, but I admire that the effort is there. I don't know if I'd go so far as to even call it beautiful. It's interesting. It shows that this was not a casual effort.
Yeah, they put some thought into, like, a lot of the shots and the editing, for sure. Like, it seemed like a little bit of a throwback in a lot of ways, especially with the way that they framed it. They did the whole, like, 4x3 thing, which I don't mind, but I didn't think that that was, like, super crucial to this movie.
For something as recent, like, The Lighthouse, 4x3... actually worked, because most of it is spent in this small, cramped,
claustrophobic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas here, it's like, we're in much more spacious locations. I want to see the whole frame, please.
I think it wanted to convey the idea of being trapped by the drug itself.
Yeah, okay.
At a certain point, I kind of just kind of stopped noticing it.
Here, it's like, if this is your experiment, why didn't it widen at one point and then narrow again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, ooh, this shit's really kicking in.
Understood why he was claustrophobic with having to take care of his mother, and he's stuck in this apartment and everything, but then she dies, and he has this, wow, I kind of like this girl across the way, and I'm experiencing this new thing. It should have opened and then slowly narrowed again. If that was your goal of what you're using it to reflect what's going on, and certainly a lot of the other cinematography later in the film shows that he's using the cinematography to try and reflect that.
You know, what's funny, Chris, is if you look at the poster, at least the one on IMDb, it's like it's trying to represent what you just said. Because look, you can see the walls closing in around the baby face with the gun.
You know what I would have liked to have seen with this film, and I know I hate it when people make this argument, but fuck it, I've had a few drinks, I'm gonna make it. I liked the aspect of the Jewish experience through this, and the way it was starting to hint at that maybe this was going to be a part of the film. What happens in this scenario? Is there going to be a point where it comes back to this? He explains what Sitting Shiva is, the family being there in his house, and why that's happening. I would have liked to have seen that culturally come back into the story and been more important, because the Jewish rituals for dealing with death and the philosophy of dealing with death and even with dealing with addiction are really fascinating. All of that has nothing ultimately to do with what this film ends up being about, which, by the way, does anyone know what ultimately he ended on this being about? Because I'm not sure.
His religion ended up being a backdrop for the movie. Just wanted to throw that out there. That was one of the most more disappointing elements about the movie itself, I think.
Yeah, and I'll have Chris. I thought this was going to lead somewhere. I'm not the most spiritual person myself, but I did think, okay, earlier in the movie, one of the biggest things we see is that he's praying. He and his mom talk about that. This could be interesting to see how faith coincides with his spiraling addiction.
All I got from it was that it's like, hey, this guy who has a lot of faith, he's also kind of a fucking idiot and really not all that likable. I've been waiting to say that. I really disliked all the characters in this.
If you have a movie and Imogen Poots is your second star, main star, and you're not going, but I liked Imogen Poots in it, you've done something wrong. She is terrific at exactly this sort of stuff.
No, she is great. She is the highlight.
Why is she not more memorable, though? Why do you look at this character and go, who cares? Because that's exactly what your response is. Who cares? Whatever. She's a collection of ticks. She's not a real person.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think that the writers were clever enough with that character to make me like her. Like, that's what's so good about something like Requiem for a Dream. It's like, wow, these guys are scumbags. But because you hear, you know, the conversation of the mom and, like, the guy buying the TV and selling it back and forth, like, you, these characters are just really genuine and they're likable. Here, oh my god, everyone just, they're like, all right, put makeup on everyone like they haven't slept in 6 days. All right, let's go.
I wanted this movie to be, at least have moments of fun.
No.
And when it looked like maybe you were going to get something interesting in those, that last act where it starts toying with being a thriller, it really is just that. It's just toying with being a thriller. It has nothing that happens there reflects in any sort of way on what happened before it in a way to elucidate the things we've saw before it, which were leading towards thoughtful, but they don't come to any conclusions or even approach any conclusions. You think, well, maybe this will have a reflection on that. It doesn't. And then it ends on totally a, is that it? Did y'all just run out of film?
Yeah, it definitely has that style of editing near the end where it's like, guys, is this going to become one of these silent student art films where, like, the sound would, like, cut off a little bit early and he would just be, like, you know, opening a cabinet. And then it would, like, cut to something else like that. In this movie, it's like, oh, dude, you're about to kill your mom. And slam cut to him at his mom's funeral. I was just like,
there's not even enough to root for the mom because we just don't know enough about her. She's really given no characterization of any type. We know she's Jewish and we know she's in a lot of pain, and that's about it.
I don't disagree with any of your arguments, yet I don't dislike the movie enough to really care. But I don't know.
Kind of, is this going to be over soon? I mean, I'm not angry, but, like, I feel like I got better things I could be doing.
There's just so many examples of this type of movie that's been done before that has kind of been done better, or at least more poignant. There's a movie called Heaven Knows What from the Safdie brothers that, more so in a documentary style, paints a very realistic portrayal of drug addiction, which I feel like this one does as well in a more cinematic way. But in the end, it feels like it doesn't really even know what it wants to be. None of us can come up with the message of the movie other than addiction's bad, which we know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was pretty disappointed by this, and yet at the same time, I don't dislike it. I'm just okay.
You're the only person I know who's seen a Safdie Brothers film that wasn't Good Time or Uncut Gems, and I'm jealous, and I need to watch that movie. Let's go to final thoughts. Is that Jordan?
Yeah. Yes. There were some really good performances, especially Imogen Poots, and I feel like I really understood and believed in what this movie was trying to do and wanting to say, because I've had my own problems with addictions and such. It gets the hardship of that pretty well. The movie does meander for a bit, but I'm still engrossed by the performances. But then the movie just loses steam and Frozen, a completely different movie towards the end. I want to recommend this enough, at least for the cinematography and the acting. Part of me just really can't. So I'll just give it like 6.5. Crushed up lines of Percocet.
Let's go to Adrian Silva. Adrian, seriously.
It's hard to even kind of formulate a final opinion on this. I don't dislike the movie. Shout out to Keir Gilchrist, who I've liked since It's Kind of a Funny Story. It's always nice seeing him. That's a highlight. I don't think anyone really gives a bad performance, but the script is nothing too special. I guess shout out to Neve Campbell, too, because I did not realize that was her until the credits started rolling.
I know, it took me a second. I was like, she looks faintly familiar. I had to turn my head sideways at one point and freeze it and go, wow, that is Neve Campbell. Holy shit.
It's 1 ounce of a really realistic look at addiction. It's 1/2 ounce of a thriller at the end. And it's all around just kind of, eh, I could live without it. If for some reason addiction films are like your niche, check it out. But if you're like me, you'll just probably give it 4.5 barbecue pop chips that I was eating and paying attention more so to the film that I was watching.
Julian, why don't you Julianne this possibly Rotten Tomato?
I think that this movie's worth watching at least once. But the thing is that the audience that this is made for, my parents, this shit's too depressing for them. And this isn't fun enough for me to recommend to my friends. This is for, like, the niche group of people who are pretty much here right now who I can say, hey, this movie's nice looking. There's good acting. There was a good idea here. But at the end of the day, you watch and you're like, oh, that's it? Like, this just, like, kind of farts out at the end. It left me cold and, like, kind of unimpressed. I've been thinking about this rating all day since I finished the movie, so I'm going to just say I give this 6 spoonful of sugar to make the medicine go down out of 10.
Surprising how high y'all are rating this thing, because I found this boring. I found this unappealing. I looked at this at best scientifically. I was able to look at this film and go, I can see that you put the effort in, but it all doesn't add up to anything. It is a plandemic. All these false news that you've got from all these places, they don't add up to a real thing. You're putting facts together in a way that doesn't equate. I just didn't like it. It's dark. It's unhappy. It never makes a good argument for being dark and unhappy other than drugs are bad. Okay? I just didn't enjoy this movie. It never gives you a reason to enjoy this film. Like films like you mentioned earlier, Requiem for a Dream, or let's say some films like Drugstore Cowboy, give you a reason to enjoy it. They're dark. They're depressing, but they're just audibly and visually pure pleasure. Just brilliant. Like, oh, I get it. You're expressing yourself artistically in so many ways. What is this doing? This is making faintest effort towards trying to do that. It's not enough if you're telling a story this dark. Don't tell a story this dark if you just have, like, one idea. You got one idea. That is not enough to make us sit through this bullshit. And I thought it was kind of bullshit. I'm sorry. I'm going to give this 3.5 out of 10 nice Jewish boys.